Hello and welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Ankita Mukherjee. Over 100 armed forces veterans have written an open letter to Prime Minister Modi, chief ministers and lieutenant governors about an atmosphere of fear and intimidation in the country and say they stand with the Not In My Name campaign that mobilized thousands of citizens. We ask tonight, will this strong message from our armed forces make a difference? Ever since this session of Parliament started, the opposition has also tried to raise the matter of death by mobs. That discussion finally taking place in the Lok Sabha today. The Congress said don't turn Hindustan into Lynchistan. The centre continues to put the onus on the states.
The issue which has held up Parliament the most this session finally had its day today. Hate crimes that have claimed the death of more than two dozen lives, from Mohammed the Clerk to Junaid.
ये देश हिंदुस्तान है, इस देश को हिंदुस्तान रखो, लिंचिस्तान मत बनाओ.
The government was prepared. When the opposition raised individual cases, they cited they were in courts, so inadmissible. But they fielded an OBC leader from Bihar to take on all opposition voices.
बातें सामने आई, झगड़ा हुआ सीट के लिए, दो आदमी आपस में लड़ गए, दो आदमी में मारामारी कर दिए, और उसको उठा करके आप बात ला रहे हो कि हिंदू मुसलमान का झगड़ा है, कि हिंदुस्तान के मुसलमान भूतपूर्व हिंदू हैं. तो मुसलमानों को भी सोचना चाहिए कि वो भूतपूर्व हिंदू हैं. दोनों सोचेगा.
हमारे हिंदू भाइयों से कहना चाह रहा हूं, बचा लो अपने आप को हिंदुत्व से. हमारी लड़ाई हिंदुइज्म के खिलाफ नहीं है, हिंदुत्व के खिलाफ है. इस मुल्क को इससे बचाना है.
बट द गवर्नमेंट वॉज अनडिटर्ड. दे सेड इट वॉज द स्टेट्स मैंडेट टू कंट्रोल लॉ एंड ऑर्डर.
प्राइम मिनिस्टर और द यूनियन गवर्नमेंट शुड टेक ओवर द स्टेट एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन जस्ट बिकॉज देयर इज वन इंसिडेंट. Is it possible? There is a federal structure which is very well defined.
And when the opposition wasn't convinced, the government asked why wasn't there such outrage during the anti-Sikh riots or about Kerala's left versus RSS violence. With Sunetra Chaudhary in New Delhi, Soumya Menon, NDTV.
Joining us tonight, Major General S.G. Vombatkare, one of the signatories to that open letter. We're also joined by Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad, Colonel Ajay Shukla, Vikramjit Banerjee, advocate and Supreme Court of India and part of the BJP's legal cell, is also with us on the program tonight. But Major General Vombatkare, let me begin with you. Why did you and your fellow signatories, 146 of them, feel the need to write this letter?
Well, we were concerned with the happening across the country and published the letter.
Let me just quote in a little bit of detail what this letter says. What is happening in our country today strikes at all that the armed forces and indeed our constitution stand for. We are witness to unprecedented attacks on society at large by the relentless vigilantism of self-appointed protectors of Hinduism. We condemn the targeting of Muslims and Dalits. Now, Major General Vombatkare, already, as far as social media goes, as far as people who are now speaking out against this letter that has been written by Armed Forces veterans, they're all saying, why pick out Muslims and veterans? Why say that this is only about Hinduism? We're hearing the whole whataboutery argument. What about Ayub Pandit, the cop in Srinagar who was killed? What about the RSS worker in Kerala who was murdered? How do you respond to them?
All those are wrong. All violence by any group whichsoever is wrong. But what we are seeing to a large extent in society all around, in all the states, is the problem due to cow vigilantism.
Well, that's a fair point that's being made, and according to India Spend, based on media reports this year, there is a statistic that 2017 is on track to be the worst year for cow-related violence, according to the data that's been compiled. But Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad, you are not a signatory to this letter. You feel, in fact, that armed forces personnel, serving or retired, should not have been signatories to such a letter at all. Why do you say that?
See, there could be many views, and the Major General there on the channel has got his view. He's perfectly entitled to have it. My own view is this, that if any individual who's retired from the defense services has got every right to join a political party and follow a political career. I have no objection to that. But what I do not appreciate, and it is my personal view, it may not be view of the others, that to create a group of ex-servicemen to create an atmosphere of political rivalry or political support to a particular cause, like Dalits or like cow vigilantism or such like issues, I don't think it's a good idea. The armed forces, right from day one, are ingrained into us that we should remain apolitical, away from politics. And I think it's best for ex-servicemen to also stay away from politics. And if you do wish to join politics as an individual, join a political party and feel free to do that.
But
to create a small group of 50, 60, 100 people and to try and create an atmosphere of kind of a political backing to a certain concept or a certain set of people.
Okay, but Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad, pardon me for interrupting.
I don't support this.
Pardon me for interrupting, but Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad, they also make it very clear in their letter that they have no political affiliations whatsoever. They are saying what they're doing is upholding the values of the Constitution.
Perfectly all right, and they're saying, and I don't deny that. But I still feel that this is what the agenda for some political parties is. While these people may not be wanting to follow a political agenda of a particular political party or a political group or a political set of people, but it actually means that finally they're supporting the same view. So if as individual you want to write about it, as individual you want to talk about it,
Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad asks, why did you not all of you write as civilians? Why did you write as armed forces veterans? Do you believe he has a point to make?
Exactly.
He has a fair point there?
No, that is the general's personal opinion, and I cannot dispute that. If he holds that opinion, that's his opinion. But it is not that we have got together and we are supporting a political cause. Just because we are saying that the Dalits and the Adivasis and the Muslims are being targeted doesn't mean that we are subscribing to the policy of any political party. Not at all.
Ajay Shukla, is this going to silence the trolls who always invoke the soldiers at the border every time any kind of criticism is leveled against the government? Or are these armed forces veterans also going to end up being sort of labeled anti-national as everyone else has so far?
Well, a couple of points. First of all, as General Shankar Prasad said, the military is supposed to be apolitical. But that does not mean that it is supposed to be non-political. There's a clear difference. Military people are entitled to hold political views. They are entitled, indeed encouraged, to vote. There are mechanisms in place to make sure that they vote. And therefore, for a military serving personnel, and in fact, in this case, retired personnel, to hold political views is hardly sort of something that anybody can criticize or point a finger at. Secondly, the military has been traditionally one of the most secular and non-combative amongst religions, institutions in the country. And therefore, for them to see a climate of political intolerance or a climate of religious intolerance or non-secularism,
yes,
is something that is likely to bite deeper than it would bite other people as well. I think that there is absolutely nothing wrong in this letter being written. Given the circumstances, I don't think, and I'm sort of giving my own political view over here, I don't think this letter is necessarily a criticism of the BJP.
Right.
The Congress can be accused of playing the political card as much as the BJP is doing today. Well,
yes,
maybe not as much, but certainly to a very, very reprehensible degree. So these people would be very justified in saying that this is only a continuation of that divisive politics that came about earlier in the political
thing. There's a particularly telling paragraph here where the letter says the armed forces stand for unity and diversity. Differences in religion, language, caste, culture, or any other marker of belonging have not mattered to the cohesion of the armed forces who have fought shoulder to shoulder in the defense of our nation. Clearly, this is a matter of anguish to these armed forces veterans. Why should they not speak out? Vikramjit Bhatt.
No, there are two questions. And of course, as I agree with what the general said, that every individual has the right to freedom of speech. they can exercise it, they can say it, say whatever they believe and hold whatever political views they believe. But there are sort of three questions which need to be asked here. Is why organize it as a veterans movement?
And why not?
Come on
why
television not? With a military cap on? Is it to show that it is a view which therefore represents the military forces, first? Second question, why bring it up now, especially when the Indian Armed Forces is facing action on two sides
perhaps,
of the border?
Well, you know, I'm sure
Major
General Bombatkari would also have a response to
this. No, let me finish.
Yes, okay,
and then, of
go
course,
ahead,
I,
go ahead,
I heard
go
that.
Ahead, go ahead.
And third, is it's also to be seen as to who are the people behind it. Because I could see one of the names was controversial, was to say the least, Admiral Ramdas. And Admiral Ramdas has very clear political views. And he's also signatory, and he has been members of political parties. So I see his name also as one of the signatories. So it's quite apparent what
right.
the agenda is.
Okay, Ajay Shukla, you have a response to that clearly. You know, there is a stated position in this letter that nobody is actually referring to their political affiliations in any way whatsoever. But clearly that's not something you're convinced by.
I think Vikramjeet has put it squarely the way it is. You know, to start arguing that why is this letter been written at a time when we are facing threats on two fronts? You know, national security is the last recourse of a scoundrel. And therefore, to start arguing, and this is the standard BJP argument, that anybody who criticizes the Hindutva agenda is anti-national in some respect. This is a clear manifestation of that. And to say that somebody whose name figures amongst the list of people who have signed this letter has identifiable and identified political views is therefore somehow discredited is tantamount to saying that because I'm arguing on behalf of the BJP and I'm a legal representative of the BJP, I'm discredited as well.
Okay, I want Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad to come in on this also. You know, the argument that's being made over here is why now? Why bring it up now? Is that something you share? Is that a view you share?
No, I made my position very clear. These are individual views. Many people have their own views. Shukla has got his own views. The general has got his own views. And I have my own views. My view still remains that the best option for the armed forces retired personnel is to join politics if they do wish to join as individuals. Any political party or they want to raise another political party, it's perfectly all right. But to come as veterans on a certain issue which is politically very active right now is something that I don't exactly. think that I can support. I feel that if someone wants to do it, it's their choice. But I am of the thought
yes.
that it is best staying out of such activities.
Major General Bombatkare has a counter
it,
to that.
Go ahead and write as an individual.
Major General Bombatkare, go ahead.
Yeah, but that's my personal view. The general may have his own view. I have nothing against it.
Okay. But let him respond.
The BJP gentleman had said that, you know, veterans have want to come onto TV and put their view out on TV. I must clarify that we didn't ask to come on TV. We were invited to come on TV. We only wrote the letter to the government, and people may have their own opinions and oppose what we say. But what does the government have to say? That is the first point.
Yes.
The second point is that having politics does not mean entering into electoral politics. Everybody is a political creature, whether
exactly.
he votes or doesn't vote, whether
exactly.
he joins a political party or does not. Everybody is a political creature,
exactly.
and we can engage in politics simply by commenting on anything, and we are free to comment on anything. So entering politics doesn't mean
right.
that you have to join a party or start a party.
So
fair
that's
point.
Exactly what I was saying, as in the 100 people who've served in the army and veterans represents 147 represent a political view. Now, they should not hold themselves out as representatives of the army which holds a political view completely, and that's what they seem to do in this letter. They represent a politicized section of veterans. Fine, they're entitled to hold that point of view. But they should not hold themselves as representatives of the army's point of view. And I think that would be incorrect. No, that and that's what we are against.
Yes.
I would strongly counter that. I would say that the army is an institution, the military as a whole is an institution, including the Navy and the Air Force,
right,
where people of different religions live cheek by jowl, fight together, put their lives on the line together, and therefore it has the highest investment of any other institution in the country mm-hmm. in amiable coexistence.
Right.
Secondly, to argue that, we're facing an external threat and you're bringing this up is to beg the argument that what is the greater threat that India faces right now? The external threat or the internal threat, the divisiveness amongst communities, the use of religion
to... Let's go to that, Vikramjit Banerjee. Also, you know, when we have the government, as it did in Parliament today, say the onus is on the states, that law and order is a state situation. The Prime Minister has also had the last word on this matter and says it is up to states to enforce law and order. There seems to at least be this sense that somehow the buck is being passed.
No, I don't think the buck is being passed at all. I think all of us who know law and know constitutional law know it very clearly that law and order is a state subject. Now, as I heard the excerpts of what Kiran Rijiju did say in Parliament, and I think that's very correct. I think to say that the government should central government should interfere wherever there is a state problem on every law and order issue is asking.
But we also
I
heard
think that could
the
be
BJP
violating
MP
federalism.
Who, say that instances of mob violence in cases that have already been registered are now sub judice, so they can't even be discussed in Parliament. If you can't bring it up in Parliament, you know, this debate took all this time in happening, and then you know you hear that this is all sub judice, so none of it can be discussed.
See, the second is I don't know what individual parliamentarians said in Parliament, and in any case, whatever they did say, they expressed their point of view. They're entitled to say it. But I think the broader question is, would you want the center to interfere in every law and order incident in every state? Now, then the whole question again which arises is, what about Kerala? What is happening in Kerala? Now, I'm sure the same people who today talk so vociferously that there's a failure of the central government, if the central government interferes or says anything about Kerala, would talk about states' rights. So this, there is an inherent hypocrisy in this entire argument which is being put forward. And that is what I think we should all be very, very skeptical about.
What are you saying is the hypocritical part?
No, because the same people who talk about that the center is responsible for every law and order issue violation.
All right.
Will
Major
yes.
General Bombatkare has a response to that. Go ahead.
The thing is that our letter from the Armed Forces veterans is not pointing at the central government. It is pointing, it has been
exactly.
written
exactly.
To
it is addressed to chief ministers and lieutenant governors equally.
No, but General Bombatkare very clearly said he had a certain politics. He said Armed Forces, his group had a certain politics and he represents that politics. He's entitled to maintain that politics.
He didn't exactly say that. He said that, Armed Forces,
certain
didn't
groups
have to be non-political.
Yes, so he represents that.
But you can have a politics and still be critical of people who you are politically aligned to. This is an inherently false argument that there must be blind adherence to a certain group to which
Admiral
you are
Ramdas,
aligned.
Admiral Ramdas, as a signatory to this letter.
What's wrong with that?
No, I'm just saying we are very clear to what Admiral Ramdas' politics is. You know, he's not an apolitical person.
Major General Bombatkare, do you want to respond to that?
Yes, I don't think that the individual politics of any one person among the signatories
precisely.
Matters to the whole group. Each person is entitled to his or her own. That's precisely the point we said, that as a group we don't have any political affiliation.
They seem to be
relying
yes.
very heavily on Admiral Ramdas and discrediting
him. I'm sure if you go through the list, there would be.
Other people
I'm sure if you go through
Admiral
the list,
Ramdas.
There would be. Now, if you want us to go with a tooth comb across each and every name, no,
I'm sure
I don't think General Bombatkare even denies that. I don't
sure
think even he
the
denies
way the BJP
that. He says
functions,
he has
be able
a certain politics.
Each one of these 140
stands for a set of politics.
Fair enough. Going beyond this point, there is of course the counter argument to be made, Ajay Shukla, that the more Parliament and indeed select voices in the country are talking about mob violence, it actually prevents larger discussions, whether it's farmers' crisis, whether it's the economy, whether it's job losses, and that actually tactics of deflection seem to be working over here.
Well, it's like passing the buck and passing the blame on to something else. If you raise any one subject, you would be deflecting attention from many other subjects that are sort of worthy of attention at that point. But that does not mean you cannot raise an issue at any point in time. For the government, for any sort of right-thinking person, for certainly for the military, religious divisiveness and divisiveness along lines of caste, creed, and color is certainly, to any right-thinking person, one of the major problems of the country today. And to say that deflects attention from economic issues or job losses or Make in India, while it may be technically correct,
yes,
is really dodging the issue that is raised in the first place.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to take last comments from all our panelists. Lieutenant General Shankar Prasad, come.
Yeah, all what I wish to say is this, that why call it a veterans petition?
Exactly.
Let people be signing it, it's perfectly all right. But the moment you give it a title or inference that it is a veterans petition of the armed forces, that is what I am not supportive of. It is up to individuals to do it, their individual choice. But personally, I don't support the use of term veterans of the armed forces, because all the veterans don't do it, and there's 100 people don't represent all of us. Therefore, if they want to do it, why call it Veterans Forum?
Major General Vombatkare, last words to you.
We don't pretend to represent all the veterans in the country. There are 114 people who have signed, and I hear that there are more people who are interested to sign. They didn't know about this, and so they would be willing to sign. It may increase 200, but that's hardly the point. Even if there is a small group of people, it's the value of the opinion. It is the opinion itself which has got value. It is not the number of people who have it. And we may be a minority among the total veterans in the country, but it's not the percentage of veterans who are which is important. It is what they are saying which is important, which is that the situation in the country is not conducive to peace and harmony, which is part of the Constitution. Article 51A says that it is the duty of every citizen, fundamental duty, to promote harmony, but that's not what is happening in the country. It is the liberty that we have, of liberty of thought and belief and faith and worship, and that is being vitiated.
Right.
People everywhere want peace. Everybody wants peace. Nobody wants conflict and fighting and killing. So that's what we are saying, that this is going on, and we are requesting the governments, the state and central governments,
okay,
to all please take a look at it and do something about it.
Fair enough, and we'll leave it at that tonight. Dissent is not treason, it's the essence of democracy. That's the message that perhaps bears repeating over and over again. That's it on this edition of The Buck Stops Here. Thank you for joining us tonight.